morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley. So good to be with you this morning. We have a new July-August Valley that you should have all received in your email. If you did not and you would like a copy of it, please let the office know. I believe the Women's Association is having their next meeting July 12th, so not this coming Sunday, the following Sunday, before church in the library. Yes? Yes.
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Yes, 10 o'clock in the library. Also, I would like to wish everyone a happy 4th. This Saturday will be the 4th of July. Hopefully the weather cooperates this weekend. All right, let us transition to our call to worship. This call to worship is taken directly from Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day long? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep the sleep of death. And my enemy will say, I have prevailed, and my foes will rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt bountifully with me. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise, excuse me, and join with me in our opening hymn, Let Us Build a House. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. with me now in our prayer of confession. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sins, and whose mercy we forget in the blindness of our hearts, cleanse us from all our offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that with reverent and humble hearts we may draw near to you, confessing our faults, confiding in your grace, and finding in you our refuge and strength, through Jesus Christ, your Son. Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another from our seats. Friends, for our congregational anthem, we're going to remain seated, but we're going to sing God Bless America. I believe we're going to sing through it twice. Yes? Yes, we're going to sing through it twice.
Thank you. morning. I have a couple prayer requests this morning. One from Kathy Siggy for John Ryan, who is a cousin of hers. He's been in and out of UPMC Hospital in Monroeville due to some trach issues, and they're hoping to be able to take the trach out soon. Another one is for Bill Lowe's mother. Bill's mother has been in the ICU unit at the hospital, and Bill has been with her this whole time. So prayers for both of them. And I don't know if anybody remembers Michelle and Mark Teggy, but Michelle Teggy lost both of her parents last week to COVID. So I'm sure that she would appreciate your prayers.
A few prayer requests to add to the list. We will continue to pray for Roy, who's recovering from his knee replacement surgery. And we'll continue to pray for Cliff. He was experiencing some pain after his procedure to have a kidney stone removed. He's doing better, but he's annoyed that he's not back to 100% yet. So we will keep him in our prayers. Also, I'm sure we've heard that cases are on the rise in Allegheny County, so we'll be praying for everyone this week who is battling COVID in our community. Also, continue to pray for all of our healthcare workers. The healthcare system's calendar runs from June 1st to July 30th, so everyone is going to be getting new assignments and new internships and new placements this week. And my mom asked if we could pray for our healthcare workers, especially this week is always stressful, but it's particularly stressful when you are orienting new people in the midst of a health crisis. So we will continue to pray for our healthcare workers. And we will continue to pray for Chuck. Sorry, I forgot him earlier. All right, friends, let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have assured the human family eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We ask that you would deliver us from the death of sin and raise us to new life in him who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, this week we pray for Roy, for Cliff, for John, for Bill Lowe's mother, and for Chuck. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Michelle Teggy as she mourns the loss of her parents and makes arrangements for their funerals. Lord, we continue to pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for our nation as COVID-19 spreads rapidly. We continue to pray for the sick, particularly for the folks here in Allegheny County that have been recently diagnosed. We pray for those who face an uncertain economic future. We pray for those who are feeling scared, frustrated, or overwhelmed. Lord, we continue to lift up to you our healthcare workers as they face new assignments and internships and placements this week. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. God of grace and mercy, be present with us as we face an unknown future and as we walk paths untrodden. We know you are a good God who holds us in our anxiety and distress and who has a plan for our futures. Calm our hearts and minds and give us hope in you, our only certain hope. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, if you have not already done so, you can drop your offering in the basket in the back on your way out. During our offertory time this morning, my reflection question for you is, how do we welcome others into the kingdom? Give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Today it's our scripture is from Matthew 40 to 42. It's very short. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive the prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the award of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to the one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This Sunday is the third Sunday that our lectionary devotes to this theme of discipleship. First, Jesus calls the disciples to participate in his mission, to perform the same signs and proclaim the same message that he did. Next, Jesus prepares the disciples for the hostility they will face. The gospel is going to set father against son, daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. In today's scripture reading, Jesus addresses all those who are called to support the disciples on their mission. They are to welcome the disciples as they would Jesus. Today, Jesus teaches us about an important practice of discipleship, hospitality. Hospitality is the act of welcoming others into relationship with Jesus. It can take a variety of forms. Sometimes hospitality is teaching others about Jesus. This can be done formally in, say, Sunday school, or it can also be done informally, say, over a cup of coffee between friends. Sometimes hospitality is inviting someone to church, whether that church meets in person, like ours does, or virtually, like some other churches are. I've found lately, hospitality looks a lot like figuring out what people need and finding creative ways to meet those needs. I've also found that hospitality is as simple and as challenging as walking alongside someone who's going through a hard time. I think we often think of hospitality as all the things we do to support those who are doing the real ministry. When I was in seminary, my mom used to joke and tell people that she goes to work so that she can support my ministry. But what Jesus is telling us this morning is that the divine mission is just as much about the people working behind the scenes. Those who are providing a servant or a little one with a cool drink of water, as it is about the familiar disciples and prophets that dot the pages of church history. Oftentimes when I'm preparing a sermon, God will use the events of that week to teach me what he wants me to preach about. And this week was no exception. This week I learned of the role the saints working behind the scenes play in the divine mission, as I worked to reschedule a memorial service that had been postponed by the coronavirus. The first thing that I did was I spoke with the family to go over the details of this memorial service. I assured the family that I would do everything in my power to give them a nice service, but that the service was probably going to look a little bit different than perhaps they were used to. I explained the social distancing guidelines that we would need to follow to keep everyone safe and healthy. As I was speaking with the family and as I was answering a lot of their practical questions, I was so grateful for the long conversations our session had as we were trying to figure out what guidelines we wanted to put in place. I was grateful for those conversations because now everyone is on the same page. We all know the guidelines so well, we can explain them to someone else. And we did this so that the church could walk alongside a family grieving the loss of one of their own. The next thing that I did was I called up the Women's Association, where we talked on the phone about what a socially distanced funeral luncheon could look like. We talked about having fewer people cook, but perhaps a few more people to serve. Maybe the menu would need to be tweaked a little bit, depending on who can help and what we can buy. We talked about maybe setting up tables and chairs outside for the family to sit at and eat on. We talked about how we could space people out in Fellowship Hall if it rains. Because friends, grief is hard work, and people need to eat. The next thing that I did was I called our music director, where we went over the plan, well, the rough plan, I haven't formally put it together yet, for the memorial service. We talked about when the service would be, what type of music we were thinking, how long the service would be, As I was having this conversation, I found myself profoundly grateful for the flexibility of our church musicians. Funerals never happen at a time when people are off, and it usually involves rearranging a few schedules. I'm so grateful for this flexibility so that we can give the family this ritual and this tradition to help them grieve. Now, this is just one example in an otherwise pretty normal week of the saints working behind the scenes to extend hospitality to our community. To these anonymous saints who occupy our churches, Jesus says, "You may not be the one going, but never forget that you too are sent. Never forget that you play just as important of a role in the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ as the ones who are maybe on the front lines or who have more visible roles in ministry. Because those of us on the front lines can't do what we do without your support." This week, I was reminded that all of us who are baptized are sent into the world to embody the good news of Jesus Christ wherever we may be, each and every day. All of the baptized are on mission. And how we respond to this call of our baptisms is the work of discipleship. Our task is to figure out how to use what we're good at, or our gifts and our talents, to welcome others into the kingdom. To paraphrase Paul in 1 Corinthians, some of us are called to organize the funeral. Some are called to make and serve the food. Some are called to play the organ. And some are called to service our air conditioner. A few minutes ago, I asked you all to reflect on how you can welcome others into the kingdom. I ask this question because I'm particularly curious about what hospitality looks like now with everything going on. I think we are still called to welcome and to be welcomed by others, but I think that's going to look a little different than we're used to. I think we're going to have to continue to be creative because our usual means of welcome just aren't available to us right now. Let me give you an example. In my family, summertime is this season of birthdays. My mom and my sister have a birthday in June. My aunt and my cousin have a birthday in July. My other cousin and I have a birthday in August. Typically, the Pazukanix family spends a lot of time together over the summer. We usually have a cookout at someone's house and we buy a cake, and whoever has a birthday in that month, we sing happy birthday to. My cousins that have birthdays over the summer are a little bit younger. They're still teenagers. So in the past couple years, my sister and I have taken one cousin to Sandcastle for her birthday and the other cousin to Kennywood for his. But with everything going on, we just can't do that this summer. Instead, we've gotten a little bit creative. A small group of us went camping for Emily's birthday. Last weekend, an even smaller group of us gathered at my mom's house to go floating down the Yakagane River. I'll tell you more about that later if you're curious what that is. My aunt is a school teacher, and she's also caring for her elderly parents, so she's taking social distancing super seriously. In fact, I haven't seen her since Christmas. So what my sister and I decided to do was we bought her gift online and we shipped it to her house and we checked the box and told the person to leave it on the front stoop so that it's a contactless delivery. My cousin is going to be turning 14 next week. So what we decided to do is I'm going to take her on a bike ride, and then we're going to come back and we're going to watch Hamilton together and probably eat pizza and do that kind of stuff together. I share this story with you this morning because I think it illustrates how we treat one another during this pandemic is ultimately going to matter more than if we got the virus and had to isolate for however long. What I mean by this is the more that the summer goes on, the more that I am convinced that hospitality is how we are going to get through this pandemic summer. Summer 2020 is going to look different than any summer we've ever had and hopefully will ever have in our lifetimes. But my hope and my prayer is that when the weight of social distancing becomes too much to bear, we will find creative ways to connect with one another. And that in welcoming one another, we will welcome the love of Jesus into our midst. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn, O God of Every Nation. We're going to sing verses 1 and 4. I'm going to master taking this mask off eventually. Friends, as we prepare to go from this place, let me say a word of blessing. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen. Amen.